Text. I had a mate for years in school. I envied him a lot because he could afford school dinners every day. There was an ice cream van used to park outside the school in lunchtime. He used to always buy a cider ice lolly, which I could never afford either. He had always had better sports equipment. And he went on holiday to something called Butlins. I didn't know where he was, but it sounded tremendous. The thing was, both his parents worked, which is very unusual in those days. He was a latchkey kid, you know, he had to get himself ready in the morning and go to school. He got home in the night, his parents, they weren't home, you know, there was a price to pay. But both parents worked in the betting office, you know, where you back on the horses, only on the horses in those days. And I remember his mother telling me of a regular punter, Freddie, who had won on the first race of the afternoon, he'd won £1,000. Now, £1,000, you're talking about 55 years ago, £1,000 was like 100,000 today. But she told me the story because she wanted me not to be a fool like Freddie. Because he'd won £1,000 on the first race, by the end of the day, he'd lost it all. Just gambled it, frittered it away. Now, in this psalm, the Lord God Almighty tells us about a fool. A fool is somebody, we have two views in the psalm, the view of God, the view of the fool. And the fool says in his heart, there's no God. And what God says, if God says you're a fool, you're a fool. Because what God says settles it. He decides what's right, he decides what's wrong. He decides what's good, what's bad. And he says that none of us are good. Now, we think sometimes that we are good, and we sometimes think other people are good, but the Lord says there's nobody good except him. And if he says it, that settles it. There's so much today, the speculation. We have celebrities who come on TV or in the media, and they say, well, if you want my opinion, and they give us their opinion, but they're guessing. Or the clever talkers come on and say, well, the way I like to look at it is like this. They're just guessing, they're speculating. In the end, every point of view, every opinion is either I am guessing or God says. That's it. It's either God says or I am guessing. And if you guess, then you're a fool because you are in your heart. See, you don't have to say it out loud, but you're thinking, your mindset is wrong, your attitude is wrong. You are thinking as if there's no God. How you view the world, that's what makes a person a fool. How you see the world. Even if you're in church and you can sing those songs and enjoy it, even if you read your Bible and say your prayers, how you see the world, your outlook, your mindset, your attitude displays whether you're a fool or not. You know, there's some celebrities, you know, obviously there's Richard Dawkins, there's Stephen Fry, Ricky Gervais, for instance. They display their atheism. They're willing to tell everybody there is no God. But then there are others, like Frankie Boyle and John Humphreys, and maybe David Mitchell. They're much less scathing of God most of the time. But deep inside, if pressed, they'll admit where they stand. But the point is, whether they say it out loud or not, the fool is a fool because in his heart, he says there's no God. He behaves as if there's no God. He thinks often as if there's no God, whether he says it or not. And that's the danger for people like you, sitting here. See, what drives your behavior is your view of the world. How you see the world, how you see the news. Because it's God's world. And he says it's his world. He created it just by speaking. He created you as well, just like that. He holds your life in his hands. How you see everything then influences how he feels about you and how he labels you. If you're an atheist in your heart, regardless of what you say, you're a fool. For instance, if you believe everything happened by chance, you know, there are people who say that, isn't it? Is it possible to live in a world where everything is purely by chance? Whatever that means, chance. You know, can you live in a chaotic world where everything's random so that molecules can stay together, but they could instantly just explode? You can't live in a world like that, can you? Because there are patterns. We accept there must be patterns. Everybody has standards because there's an order. You know, I remember a teenager, and going back 25 years, talking to a particular teenager who was quite keen to say that there was no God and there were no standards. There was no such thing as right and wrong. This teenager was saying in a class, and I remember saying, okay, there's no right and no wrong. Okay, what's valuable to you? My CD collection. CDs were new then, it was the early 90s. So I said, right, imagine you go home today, you find somebody's broken into your house, they've stolen your CDs. How would you feel? Gutted, she said. Right. Okay, would you be angry? Yes. Why? Because they've stolen my CDs. But why are you angry? Because it's wrong. He said, but you just told me 5 minutes ago you couldn't say right and wrong. Yeah, but that's wrong though. Why is it wrong? She said, because I don't like it. I said, well, I don't like pasta. But pasta's not wrong, is it? Is pasta wrong? No. Not convinced, are you? Is pasta wrong? No. Is stealing somebody's CDs wrong? Yes. We all know it is. Because we have that inbuilt sense. What God says is wrong is wrong. You know, I remember a sixth former in North Wales. And, oh, puce in the face, passionate, standing up and saying, what gives you people, I don't know why she's pointing at me, but I was the one trying to give the talk on Christianity, I suppose. What gives you people the right to pollute the planet, she said, and destroy our wildlife? And I remember just saying to her, you care, don't you? Yeah. Why do you care? Well, because I do. But why do you care? What's your basis for caring? You care. And you are saying that apparently people like me don't care. So why do you care? Well, I don't know. I said, I'll tell you, because you're made in the image of God. And God cares. It's his world. It's his planet. He cares. And that's why you care, because you're in his image. The point is, what you believe in your heart, you live. It's not what you say with your lips that drives your life. It's what you believe deep inside. Are you a practical atheist? I don't think anybody here would stand up and say, like Stephen Fry or Ricky Gervais or Dawkins, that there is no God. But you can live as if there's no God, regardless of what you say. You know, I think of so-called modern science, you know, started kind of in the Middle Ages, is officially, at least, the pursuit of truth. What's really going on? Before that, see, people had a sentimental view with people like Aristotle, so they'd say things like, this fellow Shiner saw spots on the sun. And he said, look, you know, perhaps the sun is not all uniform, you know? Oh, no, they said, no, Aristotle didn't say that. So they weren't interested in the truth then. They were interested in, well, what these great names said 1,000 years earlier. But today, surely we're interested in truth. And most scientists would say they're interested in truth. And yet, a couple of weeks ago, a friend rang me, and he has got a new member in his church who I heard lecture once. This guy was a research chemist, and he was lecturing on evolution. He's a Christian. And he made this point. He said that there was a guy who was a microbiologist who was also working in the same firm with him, doing research. And this microbiologist, who wasn't a Christian, said to him one day, the thing is, you see, you and your Christianity, but I believe every carbon atom is longing to be part of a living organism. Well, that's a ridiculous thing to say, isn't it? And the man knew, as soon as he'd said it, that the Christian was going to say, carbon atoms longing? How can they long for anything? And of course, the guy knows it's a ridiculous thing to say, but he's a practical atheist. He dismisses God. He's got to come up with something. The question is, do you live as if God sees everything, hears everything, reads your mind, searches your heart? Do you live like that? If you don't, then you are a fool. See, regardless of what you say in here, regardless of how much you enjoy coming. Now, what's the problem between Trump and Putin? They don't trust each other. What's the trouble between the EU and Theresa May? They don't trust each other. What's the problem between Theresa May and her cabinet? They don't trust each other. Something's wrong in the world, and something's wrong with you. And you've got to see that. And I don't think you all have seen that. Something's wrong. Have you ever had this situation where you've disappointed someone and you know you have and you feel it? Have you? Well, you've disappointed someone, they know it, and you know they know it. And it, oh, you feel gutted with yourself, you're angry with yourself. Surely you must have come that far. Have you ever had the experience, not a theoretical thing, no, an experience of God has seen you. You've been shown up and you know that he is seen. He's seen you. Have you come that far? That you endured, or partly endured. I was doing puzzles and things. My wife watching 3 hours of Little Women last week. There was one illustration. I don't know, I probably missed others. There was one illustration where there's a lady in it. I don't know the name of the person, the character. And this lady says, do you know, I could be a better person. I've known that for some time now. And I just thought, have you said that to yourself? I could be a better person. In other words, I'm not as good as I ought to be. I could be. I should be a better person. If you've come that far. See, there are loads of people, probably all of you. If I buttonholed you on the door and asked you, do you believe in God? You'd probably all say yes. But do you live as if you believe in God? That's the crunch, isn't it? There are people, loads of people I know, you have to ask them what they believe, because if you look at their life, you'd never guess. You can't tell by watching what they do and how they behave. You have to ask them, oh yeah, I believe. But it doesn't show. What about you now then? Have you come as far as that character in Little Women, where you've seen, I could be a better person. I have seen that. I've known that for some time now. Because if you've come that far, there's hope now. There's hope now. Because the God who created you and holds your life in his hands has given his son to be a savior for people who realize, I could be better, I should be better. That's what the savior comes to do. Save people like that. You know, perhaps you've wasted this year spiritually. What a great opportunity, you know, the last day of the year, to turn to him. He's the only savior. And just tell him the truth. That you've been living perhaps just like the fool here. Oh, you're in church, you're fairly regularly, but you live as if there's no God. And you've come to the end of your tether, you're sick of yourself, you're fed up of being what you are, and you need to be saved. Oh, wouldn't that be tremendous? He's here now. Call upon him. Amen. Are we going to sing? We've sang this a few times. We know the tune anyway.